Thank you, Lord. Well, last week, you know, we talked about worship, and basically the essence of what we said was that worship isn't an event, that it's a lifestyle, that it's ongoing. You know, like we just got done with some time of worship, but that's just one facet, one form of worship, that we come together as a group and sing to God, but that really worship is just an ongoing, continual communication with God, and that we can be close to Him, and that a relationship can just be ongoing like He meant it to be. And I'm going to kind of dovetail with that this morning. Well, why don't we just go ahead and start at Colossians 3, and we'll introduce it that way. Colossians 3, verse 1. It says there, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory." You know, so I want to focus on that verses 2 and 3, actually. "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And actually, I guess the first verse too, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God." What he's essentially saying is that all of us Christians were raised with Christ. Jesus was crucified, and he was raised from the dead, and he is seated in heavenly places, and we're seated with him, and we're going to read some more scriptures to that effect. But our life is not here. We are in flesh and blood here, but this isn't eternity. This isn't our real form. This is a material world that was created by God. God's a spirit. We can't see God with our physical eyes, but He's real, and He existed before any of this stuff was created. But we live in this physical world, and it's pretty real to us, and it is real. It's not that it's not real. It's just that there's spiritual things were created or were before material things. But being that we live in a physical body, we can feel our body. Our body gets tired. Our body gets hungry. We see things with our physical senses, with our eyes. We hear things with our ears. We're around other physical people. That tends to make our focus on natural and physical things. We just go, you know, we work a physical job. We go in a physical car or a physical train. I mean, it's all natural things. It's not spiritual in that sense. And that all can pull us into just this natural, and almost if we're not conscious of it, it pulls us away from what is really reality, what is eternal, what will be here forever, which is the spiritual aspects. The fact that we are really with Christ in heavenly places, we're going to read another verse, that our citizenship is in heaven. Right now, that we're not just physical bodies. That the real you and I is a spirit. That we're going to live on regardless of when this physical body ceases to exist. This isn't all there is. But boy, sometimes in the middle of life, it's just real tempting to just focus on all the natural things, because that's what's here. That's what's in front of us. And we have to consciously take ourselves out of that mode of thinking and put ourselves, set our minds on things that are above. And so many times, if we do that on a consistent basis, which like we talked about worship last week, if we're constantly focusing on God, who's a spirit, and putting our minds on Him and communing with Him, that keeps us attentive of that spiritual realm of God and the things that are real. It keeps our life on track, because we make our decisions based on things that are eternal, based on things that are going to be here regardless of our physical situation right now. If we make decisions based on our physical situation, we can get into a mess. Remember Esau and Jacob? You know, Esau was really hungry. He came in from the field and, "I'm going to die here. I'm going to die if I don't get some food." And he traded his birthright, something that is for your whole life. We're talking about eternity, but this is something a little smaller. But for that time in his life, he was the firstborn. But he was hungry. We've all been hungry. I don't think anybody in here has probably been close to starvation. One of my kids the other day said, "I'm starving," and they just wanted to eat right away. And we went off on that. Yeah, you're not. You haven't even. You're 5 minutes late to the table, and you think you're starving. You don't know what starvation is. None of us probably do. But Esau comes in, and he is real hungry. So he is willing to trade his birthright for a pot of stew. Now that's foolish. We'd read that and think that's just stupid. Why would anybody do that? Well, we do stuff on a lesser degree a lot of times. We'll trade something eternal, something where we're really going in life, what God really wants us to do, and we'll get pushed off that because of something that's happening in the natural. Now, if you were to look at yourself and step out and not feel the physical sensations or anything, you might say, "That's a fool." But when you're in it, it doesn't seem so foolish because you have the real physical sensation. I'm sure Esau didn't think he was being a complete idiot. Some reason, he's probably not just a complete fool all the time. Something, he was really hungry or something made him think that this is a rational transaction I'm about to make. Well, we just want to keep focused on the things that are not seen, the things that are eternal, so that we don't do anything along those same lines in our life. It's easy to get off. I mean, as far as just start being led by circumstances, just start being led by what is around us, what we can see, what we read, what we hear, what somebody's telling us, what our bodies tell us. It's so easy to start making decisions based on those things when that's not reality. Everyone in here, when this body ceases to exist, we're going to go on with God. Our relationship is going to go on with God. When we talk about worship, that relationship is we talked about it, it's in spirit and in truth. It's not with our physical body. He says, set your mind on things above and not things on this earth. That's why we said, when it's not our outward appearance that matters to God. When we're whether we bow down if we're worshiping God or whether we raise our hands, it does not matter because we're not worshiping Him with our physical body. If that were the case, I mean, there's some relationship, I think, with, spiritual things and natural things in that we are created in the image of God. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to recognize each other. We're going to look similar. It's just that we're not going to be this flesh and blood that can get cut, can get tired and everything. We're going to have a spiritual body, but we'll probably look similar, it seems. People recognized each other, different places in the Bible. So there's some relationship there. But when we're worshiping God, when we're in heaven, we're worshiping Him as a spirit, He's not concerned with this outward appearance. He's not concerned with what we're just doing, our natural things in life, unless it affects something eternal, unless it affects some other person, which is eternal, that person's eternal, it really is not going to matter after the natural things go away. We want to make sure we're focusing on the things that actually matter in our life, that actually matter in God's scheme of things. Our children are one of those things. Children are eternal. Their destination is important. It's eternal. We're responsible for them. Other people, that's important. What we do with our lives in our relationship with God, that's important. That's eternal. But what kind of car we drive doesn't make any difference in eternity. Not that we can drive the nicest car around. We can drive, a car that's not so nice. We can live in a big house. We can live in a small house. Those things really are immaterial. It's not that one's better than the other. I think all of us we'd like to have nicer things if given the choice, but the fact is 100 years from now, it's not going to matter. And what we consider nice today isn't maybe so nice 100 years from now. 10 years ago, even. I mean, someone might spend $3,000 for a fancy computer 10 years ago. You can go down to Walmart and spend $200 and get a computer that blow that thing away today. it's all relative. It keeps moving on. I mean, I don't know that anybody in here would trade their car, no matter what level it is, for, you know, a car 90 years ago when they're, you know, a Model T going 5 miles, 10 miles per hour, no air conditioning, you know, no radiating. That might have been the state of the art then, but nobody wants it now. My point is, this isn't that important. As much as it feels like it is, it's not that important. And we have, the fact is, though, everything this world is telling us, that's all there is. And that is very important. And we have to set our mind on things above and focus on God and focus on His priorities and His realm to really experience true life then here in this natural realm. It's a paradox, really. If we focus on the things that we think will make us happy here, we won't really be happy. If we focus on what God says will make us happy, we're happy on the natural things. But if you seek after those things just alone, nothing wrong with any of it. The natural things are neither here nor there. They're just, it's like money. Money isn't good or bad. It's just a means of exchange. But if we focus on one thing, then it gets out of whack. Then things aren't in proper perspective. So before we go on, let's just read what he said here one more time. If then, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So if you were raised with Christ, we were raised with Christ. We are residents with Jesus. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now we're going to turn to a few scriptures that are basically along these lines. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. It says there, verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. See, our outward man, we all know it. You know, after age 25 or something, it starts going downhill. But our inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we have an inward man. That inward man is the one that relates to God. Our outward man is perishing. It's decaying. It goes the way of everything else in the universe that left to itself. It goes to disorder. It goes to decay. Our body's the same way. But our inward man's being renewed. Our inward man's going to go on with God. Our inward man is going to fellowship with God for eternity. We can't think, we can't comprehend that with our finite minds at this point in time. I mean, when you realize, you're talking about worship, a relationship with God, just communing with God, that our relationship, what we begin on earth, will continue forever. That relationship will continue to grow forever. God is limitless. We're never going to get to the point where we know everything about God. I think that's beyond comprehension. It's infinity. He goes on forever. There's no time in heaven, I guess. We don't really know those things. But if you were just to say in the years that we have now, I mean, a thousand years from now, a million years from now, we'll still be getting to know God. Because He's infinitely deep. We'll never just say, oh, I know Him. No, we'll worship Him. We'll commune with Him forever. Forever. There is no forever on earth. Nothing. You know, there isn't anything that's like that. I don't think we can really comprehend what that means, but that is important. That is what's real. These few years that we have on earth, it's like that and it's gone. And we're moving on. Our loved ones, that, you know, we've all had loved ones pass on. What's the most important thing that they're going to pass on and be with Jesus. And spend time the way God intended it, just to be his child and with him. That's important. That's important. That's what we want to focus on. And for our own selves, just to build on that relationship that we have, that it's not something that we're going to die and then go and spend time with God and all of a sudden then something, you know, our physical body's gone, but really our relationship just picks up where it left off. And if wherever that relationship is, we'll all be at different stages. But we'll just still, God's still going to be God. We're going to still be who we are on the inside. And we'll go on with him. And so because God is, he's concerned with the spiritual things, well, we don't have to worry about what we're doing or not doing in the natural so much, or if we're doing it like somebody else, or if we look externally like we're really spiritual or anything, because you know what? It doesn't matter. God's concerned with the inside and the spirit. So as we go on, wherever our relationship is, just let it be where it is and grow where we are, each of us, in reality, in spirit, in truth. We look to the things that aren't seen. Because it says, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's turn to Philippians 3:20. Philippians 3:20, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Right there, you just stop. For our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here. From which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. This isn't the thing, you know, for better or for worse, this body we have is not it. Forever. We're going to have a body that's transformed in heaven. We're not stuck with this body, thank God. Thank God we're not stuck forever with a decaying body. We're going to have a spiritual body somehow. But he says in verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. That's the essence of what we're talking about today, that we stay aware of the fact that our citizenship is not here. We are like aliens here. Literally, you know, it's like if we were in another country, but we were citizens of the United States, we would not stop being citizens of the United States just because we are physically present in another country. It's the same thing. We are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven now. If we've accepted Jesus, our citizenship is there, but we live in a physical body here, right now. But if we were citizens of the United States and we were in another country, but we just completely forgot our rights and privileges and the fact that we were citizenship was really in the United States, and just went off and decided, well, this is all there is. I'm just going to live, you know, my life in what I can see here. That'd probably be a mistake. If we were planning on going back to our citizenship, having citizenship in the U.S. Well, we just want to stay focused on the fact that we are residents of heaven, that there is a spiritual realm. There are things that there is an evil spiritual realm. People know this. People want, you know, today they want to say all that stuff, make believe and whatever. People know that there's something more inherently because they are a spiritual being. They know there's something more to life than this. You know, well, is there really an afterlife? People know that they're not going to die and just that's it. And I think intuitively, everybody knows that. And there is something else. And we get reminded of it every time one of our loved ones dies. Every time somebody dies, there's that lingering question, what's going to happen? Where are they? People know there's an afterlife, and there is an evil side to the spiritual world. There is a devil. There is a Satan. There are those things that would try to hinder us in life, because our citizenship is in heaven. it's not, that stuff is not make-believe. There is, but the fact is, our citizenship is in heaven, so we have God Almighty on our side to see us through, and if we just look to Him and stay with Him, we're going to be fine. But it would be foolish to act like there wasn't any, to just live our lives as if there wasn't anything else out there, as if there wasn't anything, that we weren't living in a fallen world, that there weren't things that were really evil in the world, that were really, I don't really want to get in that part today, but there is a spiritual reality out there. And as we live our lives with that in mind, our lives will stay, you know, on track and where they're supposed to go. Let's read another scripture in Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." That's kind of the same thing we have been saying, that God raised us together with Christ, seated us together with Christ Jesus, so our citizenship is with him, even though we're here. And verse 7, "that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." In the ages to come, he's going to show us who he really is. The exceeding riches of his grace. Exceeding. It's just without end, we're going to get to know him and all that he is, the depth of God's character, which can't be plumbed. We're going to know, get to know him little by little, the exceeding riches of his grace and all that, how does he say it? In his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We'll get to know more and more what he's actually done for us in Jesus and what has actually happened. That is what we have to look forward to. And right now, actually, we're starting that journey. It's not something that we start when we die. Right now, as we get to know God today, as God's speaking to us, we're getting to know a little bit more the exceeding riches of his grace. Going down that, it's just that when we go to heaven, it's just going to continue on and keep going on forever, this process that we've started today. Thank God. Let's turn to one more scripture and we'll finish up here. Philippians 1, 21. Philippians 1, 21. It says this, "For to me," this is Paul speaking, "for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose I cannot tell." So he's pushed here and he's saying, I don't know if I want to stay here in this body or go on to be with Jesus. Verse 23, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." So he says, I'm hard-pressed between the two. I have a desire to depart and go to where my citizenship is. I have a desire to depart and go to be with Jesus. I'm seated with him. Spiritually, I'm there. Physically, I'm not. I'm here. And Paul is saying, I'm kind of pressed here. I've been going on for a long time. I'd really like to go on and be with Jesus. And it's like he says, I'm hard-pressed, but then it's like he has this thing, this question is my, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. He says in verse 23, "For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." You need me. And being confident of this, it's like he has this question, but then he resolves it right there. "And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith." And then he goes on. So he says, I want to go on. But it's more needful for you that I stay here and be in this fleshly body. And so that's what I'm going to do. That's better for eternity at this point. You know, there was going to come a point in Paul's life where it was time for him to go on. But right now, he was saying, it's more needful for me to stay. My citizenship is in heaven. He was mindful of those things above. He was mindful of those things that he couldn't see. That's where he wanted to go, but he said, this is more needful. So every day in our lives, as we're communing with God, we commune with God and say, God, what is more needful for me? Not that we're going to go on and be with him, but just in our decisions that we do, what is more needful for you? What is more needful? What is going to be actual impact 100 years from now? What is going to matter 100 years from now, what I do today? Is this pursuit that I'm going over, is this really that important? Are people going to even know about it? Is this going to affect somebody's life for God? Is this what I should do? I'm not talking about major decisions. I'm just talking about our day-to-day decisions that altogether affect, really create our whole life. It's not, we all know, it's not, there are major decisions, but then there are a lot of minor ones that all added up form the path to where we ultimately end up. They all add up. And so today, as we make our decisions, we're just course correcting all the time, just asking God, what should I do? Now, mindful of the fact that this stuff is all temporary that I may be going through, maybe seeing it's temporary. I'm keeping my eyes focused on Jesus. I'm a citizen of heaven. He's with me now. God, what do you want me to do? What should I do today? What is this decision? What's the impact of this decision really? And as we do that, we'll make the right decision. We'll go on. We'll be with God. We'll stay mindful. And these things that tend to want to pull us in all types of different directions, they won't have the pull on us because we'll be anchored in God. We'll be anchored in a relationship with him. We'll be anchored in things that are real, that are lasting. And I'm sure we'll be so happy we've done that when we get to heaven. When the curtains fade, the curtains, you know, are pulled together, the lights fade, and reality is seen. All this stuff here is not reality. It's real, but it's not the ultimate reality. When we see what really is, and we see how much people are really worth, and we'll see how our life really was on the earth. You know, the more we live for God, we'll just be so thankful we just made those decisions for God. We lived for him, made decisions, you know, based on eternity, and we'll just walk right in and start right where we left off with him. Relationship with him. Just go right on.